Please open your Bible to the book of Genesis and chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23, and I'd like to take for our reading tonight the whole chapter, all 20 verses. Genesis chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people give I it thee. Bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. And he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field, take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me, the land is worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather for a second time today. I thank you for the fellowship we enjoyed this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to sing together, to pray together, to give of our substance to you, and to open your word. We pray now as we open your word again, we ask that your Holy Spirit would help us to understand it. We pray that you would, by your Spirit, teach us, encourage us, help us. And once more, we pray that we would see with the eyes of faith your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. We're told here that Sarah was 127 years old when she died. By modern standards, that's a long time. 127 years ago, it was the year 1892. And an awful lot has happened in our world since 1892. In Genesis chapter 12, we're told that Abraham was 75 years old when he left the land of Haran and journeyed into Canaan. And Sarah was his wife when he made that journey. So that means that Abraham and Sarah were married for at least 50 years. If they were married when Abraham was 40 years old, then it was 87 years of marriage that came to an end at this time, and possibly more. 7, 8, 9 decades. That's a long time to be married to someone. And it's likely that Abraham had known Sarah all her life. He was older than her, and they had grown up in the same household. Abraham and Sarah had lived an interesting life. Genesis chapters 12 through 23 record some of their experiences. There had been pain and suffering. They made mistakes. They had been in some very tricky situations. They had remarkable experiences with the Lord. And they'd seen the Lord keep his promise in a very tangible way. When Sarah died, there was a 37-year-old man close by, her son, Isaac. And this rich and remarkable life together had come to an end, and Abraham needed a place to bury his wife. Abraham had lived a nomadic life in the land of Canaan. He lived in tents and he had travelled from place to place with his household and his flocks. He would probably negotiate some kind of agreement to use the land with the local king or lord whose territory it was, but he never possessed the land himself. Abraham didn't own any property in Canaan. And it's apparent from the text that he didn't just want to bury Sarah by the side of the road or in land that belonged to someone else. He wanted a place of his own, a burial ground that he could return to, a place where he and his descendants could also be buried. This was common in the ancient Near East. And so Abraham asked the local people where he was if he could purchase some land in which to bury Sarah. And they said, basically, you are a powerful man. Please feel free to utilize one of our burying places. We'd be very happy for you to use whichever place you'd like. Verse 6, hear us, my Lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. But Abraham declined the offer. He asked the local people to go to the lord of that area, a man named Ephron, to see if he might be able to purchase a particular place in which to bury Sarah. Verses 8 and 9, and he communed with them, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he saith, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. Now notice Ephron's response to this request, verses 10 and 11. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I it thee, bury thy dead. Ephron offered to gift the land to Abraham. You don't have to buy it from me. I will give it to you so that you can bury your wife. Now, some scholars think that this may not have been a genuine offer, but a way of bargaining. This was the opening gambit in a negotiation. Now, behind this offer was the expectation that Abraham would give Ephron gifts in return. These scholars argue that this was a way that these transactions played out between powerful people in that culture. Now, that's a possibility. But I don't think that's what was going on. Abraham's response to this offer seems to suggest that it was genuine, that Ephron really was willing to gift this land to Abraham. Abraham and Ephron eventually met, and Abraham refused this offer and insisted on paying for the land. Verses 12 and 13, and Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, but if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field, take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. Now, if you're willing to part with the land, I will pay for it. You know, take my money. I want to buy it. Upon hearing this, Ephron again gently pressed Abraham to take it as a gift. Verse 14, and Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. Now look, the land is worth 400 shekels of silver. Now that's nothing for you and me. That's small change. Just bury your dead. We can talk about payment another day. Verse 16. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. Abraham paid Ephron for the land. He paid the exact amount that Ephron had specified in front of the local population, and the transaction took place in front of the local people. They were witnesses. Abraham was careful to do everything properly. And then he buried his wife. Now we can imagine that it was a very sad and somber occasion. Perhaps the old man had his servants carry Sarah's body into the cave, and he went inside with them to say one final goodbye, and then he emerged with tears running down his face. Maybe you can picture something like that in your mind's eye. And when I read this chapter not so long ago, there was a question that immediately came to my mind. Why did Abraham insist on paying for this land? Why not accept it as a gift from Ephron? It seemed like a good deal. Maybe you've thought about this when you've read this story. I'd like to suggest three possible reasons why Abraham insisted on paying. And each of these is instructive for us. There is some application for us in this ancient story. I'll say a little bit about each of these, and then we'll be done. The first reason why Abraham paid for the land is probably because he didn't want there to be any doubt that it belonged to him. Now, I can imagine a situation where upon Abraham's death, Isaac returns to this place to bury his father. And when he comes to the field, the local people stop him and say, Hey, who are you and what are you doing? And Isaac replies, Well, I am Isaac, the son of Abraham, and I have my father's body. I'm going to bury him in the cave over there. That's where my mother is buried. This is our land. But the local people start to object. Well, this is not your land. This is ours. You have no right to be here and certainly no right to bury your father here. Well, then Isaac could remind them of the day that his father purchased the land. He could tell the locals to go to speak to Ephron and his family. He could tell the locals that there were witnesses to the transaction. Now, Isaac had proof that the land was his. But if there had been no sale, no public transaction, if it had just been a gift, a sort of gentleman's agreement, then legitimate doubts could be cast. Well, did the land really belong to Abraham and his family? But who could verify that claim? Was there any evidence? Now, purchasing the land, doing things properly and publicly, ensured that there was no doubt, no question that the land was Abraham's, and that was important for the future of his family. That they could always be sure that this was their special place, this was their ancestral burial ground. And here, I think, is a very practical lesson for us about doing things properly. Dotting the I's and crossing the T's, being diligent and thorough, even though there might be an easier way. Oh, this matters very much. The easy way is not always the best way. The path of least resistance is often the path that leads to the greatest problems. There might be some short-term advantage, there might be some immediate benefit, but we have to think about more than that. We have to think about the future. Now, what will the consequences be? We have to be wise and diligent for the sake of others and for the sake of those who will come after us, whether it's with our finances or in our workplace, in our studies or when it comes to our parenting. And it's especially important in the way we conduct our ministry, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. I heard a preacher once say, "Don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate." And that's a good little saying to write down somewhere. Don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. And that was Abraham in this story. I mean, he could have taken this offer and buried Sarah with no immediate cost to himself. Easy, done. But he wanted something permanent, something lasting. And that's why he paid. That's why he did the right thing, and we would do well to follow his example. A second reason why Abraham paid for the land is probably because he didn't want to be open to the influence of a pagan ruler. He didn't want to be open to the influence of a pagan ruler. Now, this is how corruption works. If someone accepts what appears to be a gift, a favour, but in reality there is an implicit expectation of a return on that gift. I remember years ago listening to a news story about police corruption in King's Cross. And one officer was talking about how when he first started working at the King's Cross station as a new recruit, the senior officers took him out for a coffee at one of the local cafes. And when the owner of the cafe brought out their cappuccinos, there was $20 on the saucer. And he was encouraged to take it. A gift. A favour. But really, it was the first step in drawing that young officer into a web of corruption. See, the police would accept favours like that, and in return they would turn a blind eye to what else was being sold at that cafe. Now perhaps Abraham didn't want to be in a position where one day Ephron came asking for a return. "Look, Abraham, I did this favour for you. I gave you that land to bury your wife. Now I'd like you to do such and such for me." There was nothing that Ephron could hold over Abraham's head. No influence that Ephron could bring to bear. This was a commercial transaction. It was carried out in the proper way. The full amount was paid and it was done. The two men were square. And I think there is a lesson here for us about the influence that we allow others to have in our lives. And there are certain people's influence that we should allow, even seek. Wise people. People who genuinely care for us. People that God has put into our lives for this very purpose. Parents. Brothers and sisters in Christ who are spiritually mature. Pastors and elders. We should let them in. We should listen to what they say. But on the other hand, there are people who we might get on with really well. People who might be very friendly and do us a favour every now and again. But in truth, they're not wise. They're not walking with the Lord. They might not even know the Lord. Their influence can grow. We find ourselves spending more and more time with them, listening to their advice. We start seeing things the way they do, and before we know it, we're not walking with the Lord like we used to. Now, this is not to say that we shouldn't pursue friendships with the unsaved or spend time with them. We absolutely should. The point is simply that we need to be careful about who and what is influencing us. We need to make sure that Ephron, the pagan, doesn't have any sway over us. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And that's the truth. And brothers and sisters, I've seen it happen. I've seen Christians walk less and less with the wise and start listening more and more to other voices, and their spiritual life has gone down the drain. Let's make sure that doesn't happen to us. And so Abraham paid for the land, probably because he didn't want there to be any doubt that it belonged to him. And because he didn't want to be open to the influence of a pagan ruler. And then thirdly, and perhaps most obviously, he paid for this land probably because he loved Sarah. That makes sense, doesn't it? Abraham loved his wife and wanted to show his love even in death. Paying for this land, rather than taking it as a gift, was an expression of his devotion to her. And this is what we do when we love someone. We don't take the easy option. Hey, we don't buy the cheap gift. Hey, we don't buy the Woolies flowers, men, okay? We buy the ones from the florist, okay? There's a tip for you, trust me. And if we can afford the expensive gift, that's the one we give. We'll even sacrifice to show our love. When we know someone has gone out of their way to be kind to us, when they've been very generous or very thoughtful, when we know it cost them something, a significant amount of time or money, it says a lot, doesn't it? We get the message. That, hey, that person really cares for me. They appreciate me. They love me. And I think that's what was going on in this story. It was entirely appropriate for a man who loved his wife to pay the price. And some of you can probably see exactly what this story points us to. There was another man, a descendant of Abraham, who loved his bride so much that he, like his forefather, paid the price. But this time, the price was far greater. Abraham paid 400 shekels of silver. This man paid with his own blood. He offered up all of himself for the one that he loved, to have her, to hold her, to be with her, to bless her and fill her with joy. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. In the words of Samuel John Stone, from heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Now, Jesus gave all that he could. He gave up heaven. He gave up his divine prerogatives. He voluntarily took upon himself the limitations of human existence. He opened himself up to hunger and thirst, to rejection and frustration, to sorrow and pain. And he willingly went all the way to the cross. A bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Now he bore the curse of the law. The wrath of Almighty God fell upon him. The same wrath that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah. He felt it in his body and in his soul. He drank of that awful cup right down to the dregs. And he did all of this and more out of love. Love for his bride. Love for you and love for me. So that he might be with us forever. Abraham loved Sarah. And it's beautiful to see him express that love one final time in this story. But Abraham's love is but the lightest of shadows compared to the love that Jesus has for us. There's nothing quite like it. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. May God, by his Spirit, pour that love into our hearts tonight. Amen.